You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 6th, 2021, the White House saying that President Joe Biden supports, no surprise here, no surprise, supports social media companies like Facebook banning Trump and others. In fact, the White House press secretary said President Biden believes that social media companies have, quote, the responsibility to block questionable content. Well, who's deciding something is questionable? And does that mean then we will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever see again a Hollywood elite write something mean and nasty about any Republican or Republicans in general or about Trump or anyone? I mean, will that never appear again? Or if it is, will they be punished? Do you think? Do you think? Do not hold your breath. Well, the battle is underway, and it looks like Liz Cheney's already accepted that she's going to be removed as a Republican conference chair. In fact, some sources are reporting to Politico that House Republican sources say Cheney is already, quote, checked out, accepting her fate. Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, has been considered not so much of a conservative. She's certainly an anti-Trump. And she, along with her father, who had served as a vice president at one time, have been trying to get control of the party moving forward. And there are apparently enough that say, no, you're not really a conservative. But others are saying it's not so much a personality issue or how well she's doing reference conservative politics, but she can't really raise money. She can't really help any of the candidates anyway. Former President Trump stepping forward and saying, I know the perfect person to replace her, Congresswoman Stefanik, Republican of New York. I'd mentioned in the last hour about anti-mass protesters interrupting a school board meeting in Utah as they were simply shouting and chanting, no more mask, making kids in all the Utah schools, K through 12, have to wear a mask. And the parents were upset with it. I told you that police had to escort some of the school board members to their cars for their safety, but no one was really threatening them at any point other than shouting. Now I'm seeing Utah police now investigating, quote, possible criminal charges against those who sparked an end to the school board meeting because they were shouting, no more mask. Really? Really? If that happens, that's a political motivation. By the way, speaking of coronavirus, you should know this. The Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros, the man behind the UN Assembly's stumbling response to the coronavirus pandemic, he wants another five-year term to lead the World Health Organization. He is a career bureaucrat from Ethiopia, a firm friend of the Chinese Communist Party. And, of course, he was giving the Chinese Communist Party in China allowances for how COVID started. And we have paid a big price for it. Oh, by the way, for what it's worth, the Brazilian president says he believes and says, I have information. This was biological warfare from the beginning. That's what he's saying. Of course, China's denied that. Police officer Derek Chauvin convicted on three different counts in the death of George Floyd. He's going to be appealing, and one of the jurors on that case may give him the firmest appeal possible. One of the jurors, Brandon Mitchell, had been seen numerous times wearing a T-shirt, Get Your Knee Off Our Necks, BLM. He's on an October 19 episode of a podcast, and then there was another time, pictures show him wearing it. He claimed in when he was being questioned by the attorneys, can you be fair and impartial? Have you made up your mind? He said, no, I can be fair. Well, now these pictures of those wearing that, that's going to suggest no, he could not be fair, and that might be more than enough grounds to overturn the entire conviction. Plus, he could face charges of lying to get on the grand jury. Not the grand jury, the jury. If you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, or at least you have some relatives that are going to leave a silver spoon when they pass, I should know what President Biden's doing on that. That would be really considered a wealthy family, right? You want to inherit that wealth? You might have to pay a combined tax rate of 61% on any money left you. 61%?
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Trump's lies led to a bloody, deadly insurrection. Why would they ever let him back on to peddle more of the crap?
There are a lot of members of this board that are free speech advocates, First Amendment absolutists in some cases, that are going to make an argument that these platforms should not be in the position of making these choices at all. If Trump is brought back on Facebook, it'll likely be for those reasons.
Those reasons, as in the First Amendment, those folks, he said, that believe in free speech, as if that's a bad thing. We've had some hard arguments sometimes, haven't we, on free speech. I don't want to see our flag burned and stomped on, but if someone's doing it in the street, it's considered protected First Amendment rights. But here you have on NBC, or actually that was CNN, and I stand corrected. Allison Camerota asking, why would they let, talking about Facebook's decision, and now maybe we'll have to change and let Trump back on Facebook in 6 months. She said, why would they let him peddle more of his lies, more of his crap? She goes on and on like that. I'm going to let you hear it again here in a moment. But then you had Brian Stelter, supposedly the ombudsman for CNN, and always trying to be a judicious view of anything covered by CNN and so forth. But he's sellouts every single time. And of course, they're talking about the oversight board put in place by Facebook itself to see that they were properly doing what they should do when it comes to taking someone off of the platform or fully being transparent. The oversight board said, no, you weren't. You violated your own rules. But we're not going to tell you to put Trump back on right now. You can get 6 months to kind of figure out what you're going to do. In other words, nothing was done except what's to come down the road. I'm looking at a piece written by Politico about how that vote went down. And apparently, based on the reporting by Politico, two members of that 20-person board, 20 persons on that board, I didn't know that, two of them set out. One of them had just joined the board in late April and said, well, I'm not going to take part in the deliberations over the Trump case. Another one recused themselves, did not disclose why. Ultimately, the decision was signed off by the entire board, reflecting a consensus of the majority. The board, by policy, did not disclose how different members did vote, only that a majority reached a consensus on the final decision, which was Facebook was wrong in taking Trump and banning him for his remarks January 6th on Facebook, saying that he was inciting, committing violence. And that was what it came down to, is they say, yes, Trump did do that, but Facebook was wrong in how they did it. In other words, a yin-yang type answer. On one hand, as written by Politico, praise versus incitement. A majority of the board ultimately agreeing to a Trump's post during the riots at the Capitol January 6th violated Facebook policies against praising individuals committing violence. All he did, he said, they were at some point, whether or not he knew they were in the building or what, he said, they're special, very special, and great patriots. Well, they were not, in my opinion, special or great patriots. But, of course, I was able to, I'm doing it at that point where I know what's going on. I have to assume Trump knew, and he still did it that way. So you suspend him. You don't like what he said. Have they ever suspended any liberal remark? Any? And they claim that here's Trump always peddling lies. Do you know, let me put this in front of you right now. Do you know who is again saying Trump won only because the Russians helped him? Of course, you know, Hillary Clinton had made that claim in 2016. She's doing it again. She's still doing it. She is meeting with a member, these members of the Brits, one of them sitting in the House of the Lords. And she says, well, you talk about a crisis of democracy. She said, we had Russian activity in our presidential election 2016. There is no proof. We went 2.5 years and now how many millions of dollars did we spend? There was no proof. That's a lie. But do you see them calling her out on that? No, we're not going to do that. And the Facebook decision originally, of course, was based upon them saying, claiming that Trump was responsible for whatever took place at the Capitol, which is another lie. But aside from that, they were just looking for a reason. And the oversight board said, well, yeah, you could have done that with Trump, but you went about it the wrong way and you weren't as transparent. And Brian Stelter saying, a lot of members of this board are free speech advocates. Are you not, Brian? Are you not a free speech advocate? Are you only, my speech is free and unfiltered, but not yours? Former Trump White House Chief of Staff Meadows had his reaction to that Facebook Oversight Committee decision.
It's a sad day for America. It's a sad day for Facebook, because I can tell you a number of members of Congress are now looking at, do they break up Facebook? Do they make sure that they don't have a monopoly? And I can tell you that it's two different standards, one for Donald Trump and one for a number of other people that are on their sites and suggesting that more nefarious things than what the president has been accused of.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. I said there are other folks that go on Facebook, and they use a lot more insightful language. Lynch him, chop his head off, burn him, things of that nature. They don't censor or pull them down. So the ruling of this oversight panel, which I point out again to you, was put in place and selected by Facebook to make it look like a new coat of paint on an old car, just make it look good. It does not run any better just with the new paint on it, neither is Facebook running any better. But the panel said, you know, Trump, quote, created a serious risk of violence. They want to buy that argument. They did. But then they say, we take issue with Facebook's arbitrary and indefinite suspension of his account. So they're ordering that it be revisited in the next 6 months and then come up with a decision whether to make the suspension permanent or temporary. So in other words, nothing was done. And you got these CNN jokers up there still peddling this story.
President Trump's lies led to a bloody, deadly insurrection. Why would they ever let him back on to peddle more of the crap?
That, again, a CNN anchor. It did not lead to a bloody insurrection in the sense that she wants you to believe. Well, when she says it that way, you just imagine, man, there's blood spilled everywhere. A lot of people hurt and maybe shot or beaten down or anything. None of that happened. We had only one person shot, that person being one of the Trump supporters shot by a Capitol Police guard, a police officer, Capitol Police officer who died. They later had to determine that in the autopsy he had not one but two different strokes, had nothing to do. That happened hours after the event. Now, of course, we still had the guy the other day that ran his car into Capitol Police officers at a barricade, killing one of them. But they're not talking too much about him because that guy had leftist views. So they want to look away. And yet you've got these on CNN and other such state-controlled media now using that format to stand up and claim that the GOP, Republicans, any Trump supporters, you're worse than terrorists.
Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, the people who wanted to do harm to our nation and to our way of life and our democracy, they got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing. The idea that a member of their party, of their leadership, whose last name is Cheney, could be purged from their leadership for telling the truth about January 6th, for telling the truth about a violent insurrection that claimed the lives of among them, a Capitol Police officer.
Yeah, see how they build that story in again? Again, it's a lie. And that is a former advisor to the Lincoln Project, which went belly up when all sex scandals broke as they were trying to present a different view of Republicans than Trump was, Kurt Bardella. He said the GOP's worse than terrorists. I still say, show me where GOP members have flown planes into buildings killing thousands or planting bombs. And yet, they just go unchallenged. He makes that remark in front of Joy Reid on her program. She doesn't push back, not one time. Senator John Kennedy, a Louisiana Republican. And I'm going to allow in this because if the left can make such exaggerations as claiming the GOP and Republicans are worse than actual terrorists who kill, then I see nothing wrong with what Senator Kennedy has to say about them.
Most of the young people and some of the old people who are running these social media platforms are practically Bolsheviks. I mean, they're Wokeristas. Now, that's okay. This is America. You can believe what you want. But no one believes that the social media platforms will regulate or censor, let's say, Senator Bernie Sanders like they would former President Donald Trump or Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. And I think the facts bear that out.
They do bear it out. They're not going to censor them. So here you have Senator Kennedy referring to these folks at Facebook, be they young or old. He said most of them are Bolsheviks. Now, by that, he's talking about they are representative of what we saw with the Russian Social Democrat Party that later was renamed the Communist Party after it got control in the revolution of 1917. It was a Marxist faction founded by Vladimir Lenin. And he says, that's exactly what these are. These are Russians inside our country running Facebook. Or they at least are socialists, which represents many of the progressives. Not all Democrats, but the progressives. And, of course, the state-controlled media still pounds the drum.
President Trump's lies led to a bloody, deadly insurrection. Why would they ever let him back on to peddle more of the crap?
That's the attitude of supposedly a news organization. Back to Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana.
I'm not saying that Facebook's politics are right or wrong. I'm saying they shouldn't have politics. And the only way to get this straight is to either properly regulate them or break them up. I'm starting to repeat myself, Bill, but fact is everybody knows their politics is to the left and that they act on it. And that has nothing to do with Trump or Senator Sanders. That's just wrong.
That's the point. If they are already leaning left, you're never going to be able to have another side presented, or you have to be walking their tightrope. Listen, you know publications exist, like a particular newspaper that's either liberal or conservative or maybe trying to be independent. You already know the slant and so forth, but Facebook, supposedly a public forum, a town square, where you can come and voice your opinion and remarks. Now, as long as you're civil, but of course they're claiming Trump wasn't in this, but they never call out members of the left for being uncivil or inciting. You're going to have a town square and you're going to let one side speak, you're going to have to let the other side speak if you want to be fair. But that's the rub. They don't want to be fair. They cannot even spell it, or they think it's somewhere you go to get cotton candy. In the meantime, illegals swarming into our country. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, with a station in town that carried Rush Limbaugh for 25-plus years, deciding to just basically turn their back on an audience that wanted to hear that kind of programming, we're picking up a lot of new followers daily because many of you are spreading the word. And I'm putting on a special advertising. You're doing it for us, and I appreciate it. And, of course, the app itself, KXEN1010AM.com, KXEN1010AM.com. You don't need a big antenna to reach anywhere. I've got listeners all over. In fact, I got an email from someone in Michigan the other day who said, hey, help us fight against this governor up here. Well, let me do this story, not just for the guys in Michigan, but for everyone else, because it's, again, another example of leftists lying and do what they want, and you do what they tell you to. Michigan Governor Whitmer. We knew she went down to Florida in March. She claimed she was down there just for seeing her father was ailing. Now we're getting word when she's telling everybody else, do not travel. Her office reached out to a wealthy Detroit businessman or several of them asking, do you have a plane so she could travel to Florida? Well, one of the businessmen said, you can't tell a governor no. Who needs that kind of trouble? So, yeah, we gave her a plane. So that Gulf Stream took off on a cold, clear day, the morning of March 12, landed in West Palm, nice weather down in West Palm, spent 4 days there, then came back. She said there was important stuff going on. State police in Florida had no idea she was even in there. Now, does that tell you how secure things were, how big it was? It's a lie. You know it's a lie. So again, you're looking for that kind of, you want good, strong conversational talk, and yet I'm going to give you a good balance with it. It's this station and in particular this program, Larry Connors, USA. Illegals, thousands of them convicted. I'm not talking about accused. I'm talking about convicted of homicide and sex crimes should be deported. But under Joe Biden, the new Department of Homeland Security, they're not going to classify them as a priority. 14,000 criminal illegals now in federal custody. The DHS has no plans to deport some 8,000 of them. That's just not going to bother. 19 of them convicted of homicide. 27 convicted of sexual offenses. 375 of assault, so forth and so on. Robbery, stealing, larceny. Some crimes obviously worse than others. some commercialized sex offense, meaning we're involved in a sex ring. They're all convicted. They're not just charged, they're convicted. And we're not sending them out of our country. And then you look at what's happening in San Diego County, California. They are now providing $5 million, taxpayer-funded money, to pay for lawyers for illegal aliens in federal custody to help them fight against deportations. $5 million. I did point out to you, and I'll do it again, Governor DeSantis in Florida said, we're going to not defund our police, we're going to fund our police. We're giving $1,000 to 147,000 first responders in Florida. Oh, and one other note about illegals. Often they're carrying drugs. I just found two more in the Arizona desert. They had about 120 pounds of meth on them, worth $200,000. They were on the Luke Air Force Base property. This could have really shaken them up. They were found on the bombing range. Well, that would not have been good. Well, we would have had to blame our armed forces for killing illegals, wouldn't we? I've got John Daniel Davidson coming up talking about the situation along the border and how bad it is getting. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Our next guest we've had on numerous times before, very insightful author and presenting numerous pieces for The Federalist. He's the political editor, John Daniel Davidson. Glad to have you on board again, John.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
I want to pick up on a piece you did just yesterday, Cinco de Mayo. Can I ask you a personal question real quick?
Sure.
Did you celebrate with a tequila?
No,
you're hesitating. Well, sir, what?
No, I didn't. I'm moving into a new house, so I celebrated by building shelves.
That's a miss. I'm telling you, that's a party fault right there. So I'm looking at a piece that did appear in the Federalist yesterday that you penned, and the title reading, "The Migrant Crisis Isn't Just About Illegal Immigration, It's About the Cartels That Run the Border." Go ahead, sir.
That's right. Well, over the weekend, Joe Biden said that the migrant crisis was under control,
right,
and that the numbers are going down. Neither of those statements is true. In fact, the opposite is true. The situation is out of control, and the numbers are going up. We're probably going to get the numbers for March here in the next day or two, and we'll see how much higher they were than the numbers for April. See how much higher they were in the numbers from March, which was a 20-year high.
Let me ask before you continue. Are we going to get, do you think we're getting legitimate numbers, even if they are high and big, or are they still being pared down? You know, shave 20% off that, even a big number, it still makes it look like they're getting it under control.
I think the numbers that the Customs and Border Protection is putting out as far as their border encounters and their apprehensions are accurate. Those guys are professionals. They take their job seriously. And a lot of them, especially the rank and file, they want these numbers to come out because they feel, I think a lot of them feel kind of hung out to dry by the Biden administration. And so this is a way, you know, they can't say anything. They're not allowed to talk to the press, but they can accurately report what they're seeing and tally their numbers. And I think that those numbers are a good indication of what's going on at the border.
And you also point out that a lot of reporters are ignoring another big story that's down there.
And that's right. And that is the increase in fentanyl that's coming across the border. Fentanyl seizures on some parts of the border are higher than they've ever been before. Fentanyl, of course, is a synthetic opioid responsible for tens of thousands of deaths. It's thought that some 90,000 Americans overdosed on drugs fatally last year. Vast majority of them were from synthetic opioids like fentanyl. And that's what the cartels are trafficking in these days, and they're smuggling it over in record numbers. You don't see a lot of reporting on that, but it's a huge story, and it's a huge story on the border. And part and parcel of what the cartels do is they move drugs. They also move migrants. They control territory, and their operations reach deep into the United States. And we're seeing that more and more, not just with drug distribution, but with migrant smuggling.
Well,
you know,
John,
U.S. citizens involved in migrant smuggling, not just smugglers on the south of the border.
Right. I know we talked previously about teenagers. If they can drive, they're being bought and given anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000+ if they'll help smuggle people and our drugs across. Yeah, and, of course, when we talk about what they found, we have no idea what they didn't find.
That's right. The experts think that the amount of drug seizures, and that is the amount that's intercepted and confiscated, represents 10 to 15% of production of the total amount that's coming across. So the record numbers of fentanyl being seized reflects a much larger total of fentanyl that's actually coming into the country and being distributed throughout the country into our cities. So that's a huge problem you don't hear about. The other huge problem you don't hear about is the chaos that's being caused in border communities by groups of single adults, mostly men, migrants who are being smuggled across the border, who want to evade detection and apprehension. They don't want to be caught by Border Patrol because they're felons with prior criminal history, or because they know they'll be deported. And so they're unlike the unaccompanied children and the families that are turning themselves in and being processed and then being released. The vast majority of the people apprehended at the border are not children or families, contrary to what you might think from the coverage in the press. It's single adults. And these groups of people are conducting high-speed chases through South Texas towns, carjackings, burglaries, break-ins. It's becoming a real problem in these communities in South Texas, and it's not being covered very much in the media.
Well, I'll tell you, I think once this kind of word gets out, I reported in a segment before you joined us, once they read this story, they may say, well, I don't care if I get convicted, nothing's going to happen, or caught. I mean, I'm looking at a Department of Homeland Security statement from them that they are no longer going to make it a priority to take convicted illegals and deport them. I'm not talking about folks just charged. Something like 8,000 plus DHS is not going to deport 19 convicted of homicide, 27 sexual offenses, 9 sexual assault, so forth and so on. These are convicted, and they're not even bothering to deport them.
Yeah, there was a report out the other day in the Washington Post. Their immigration and border reporter Nick Miroff reported the number of arrests conducted by ICE in recent months is at an all-time record low. It's plummeted dramatically, so that for every ICE officer, there's only something like, you know, 3 or 4 arrests being conducted per year. If you extrapolate out, and the current trends can persist for the rest of the year, these ICE officers have basically been told to stand down and not arrest anyone, even, as you say, people who are convicted, people who have orders of deportation, people who should be, and under normal circumstances, would be removed from the country, are just being left alone.
You're listening to John Daniel Davidson, a Federalist senior editor. And for all those on the left who are all heartbroken about kids being separated from their families, these kids coming across are either have been sent by their families, or they've been sold off to cartels, or they've been kidnapped by cartels, and then they show up with a phone number in their pocket, and we have to accept that we don't know who's at the other end of the phone, but if we call, they say, yeah, it's a relative, send them home. We have no idea if we're not just giving money to drug cartels like this, but assisting child smuggling and sex trade in the process.
That's right, and I've said this before, Larry. A lot of these parents are not sending their kids to the United States. They're sending for their kids. The parents are already here. And it's a very high-profile case. There was video footage leaked out of two cartel smugglers dropping a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old over the border wall,
right,
sort of leaving them to their own devices. Those kids' parents got a hold of those kids. Thankfully, they were reunited, but both of the parents were already in the United States. And the family had paid smugglers to get those kids into the country. And that's very, very common.
Right.
And it's an underappreciated part of the story. The parents are, in many cases, already here.
Well, another story I had before you joined us, that they caught a couple loaded with about $200,000 worth of meth in Arizona, but they were on an Air Force bombing range. They could be thankful they got caught in that case. My birth city of Austin, Texas, I'm ashamed to say, has gone blue, and they've been slashing police funding, more than a third of the city department, redirecting some of it to abortion access, cutting off 911 call center access funds and things of this nature. What the hell is going on in Austin?
Well, it's been like this in Austin for a long time, but most recently we had a citywide election to reinstate the city's camping ban. 2 years ago, the city council and the ultra-progressive mayor, Steve Adler, decided to repeal a 23-year-old city ordinance that prohibited camping in public places and panhandling and things like that. Well, the result is what you might expect, sort of an explosion of homeless encampments across the city and, increased crime, especially among homeless victims of crime, sharply increased. And the people of Austin finally had enough and finally got a chance to voice their own opinion about it, and they sort of smacked the city down.
So all that plan got pushed. We now have some common sense thinking going on in Austin?
Well, I think this was a rare case in which ordinary people were so fed up with the misgovernance and the incompetence of the city government that they actually rose up and made their voices heard. One of the problems in Austin is that a very small slice of the electorate actually shows up and votes, and it tends to be white, wealthy, ultra-progressive boomers, which is why we have such a horrible misgovernance in this city. But in this case, there was a sort of a campaign to get out the vote and to get ordinary people who have been suffering the consequences of the city's mismanagement out to vote on this specific issue. And thankfully, they made their voices heard and rebuked the city.
All they have to do is look to California, New York, Detroit, Chicago, and how they've been handling it and how it's gone upside down on them. San Francisco, I mean, once a great tourist area.
Our city leaders did.
Sure.
That's what our city leaders did. They looked at those cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, and they said, we want to bring those policies, those failed policies on homelessness and public vagrancy, and implement them here in Austin, because that's the compassionate thing to do. See, that's exactly what they were doing. And
you know my answer for that, John, every time somebody's like that, I said, well, open up your home. They're sleeping in your garage would be better than a tent, so why don't you open up your home? And they do not do it, not one of them, not any of the Hollywood elites or anyone else.
There's a running joke here that you know, people should direct the homeless and the homeless encampments to the neighborhoods of the city council and Mayor Adler, and then see.
I like it.
Like their policy then.
I like it. John, I appreciate your time as always. Good to have you on board, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. So this is the National Day of Prayer. The history of the National Day of Prayer coming up, but also something Biden has done this time around that has folks upset. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So 70 years ago plus, the late Dr. Billy Graham preached from the steps of the U.S. Capitol building and a message. that included at that time a passionate request for Congress and the president to establish a national day of prayer. May 6th, President Truman signed off on it. So it was President Harry Truman from Missouri that became the first president to sign the proclamation designating a day of prayer. It is not always the same date. It's up to the president in office as to when they will do so. So when Truman signed his, it was in April. I take it back. I think it might have been March. Now I'm trying to think of it, but not really sure. But we've had that. And each year there's a theme. A theme to hopefully bring us together. So in 88, by the way, Reagan approved an amendment from Congress that set aside the first Thursday in May as our annual National Day of Prayer. So that's where we are. And I think clearly we need prayer in this nation. So the resolution signed by President Biden states in this part, I'm going to read for you, throughout our history, Americans of many religions and belief systems have turned to prayer for strength, hope, and guidance. Prayer has nourished countless souls, empowered moral movements, including essential fights against racial injustice, child labor, infringement on the rights of the disabled Americans. Prayer is also a daily practice for many, whether it is to ask for help or strength or to give thanks over blessings bestowed. And it goes on and on. Now, you could tell within some of that language, you might say, well, it's kind of liberal sounding, you know, praying about moral movements and child labor and think, well, that's, you know, it's between you and God as to what you're proclaiming or what you're praying about. But nowhere in this National Day of Proclamation by Biden do we even see the word God. That three-letter word does not exist in his proclamation. And also, for the first time in years, no prayer service being conducted at the U.S. Capitol. A Christian group that normally sets that up, gets a permit and everything, said for the first time in 70 years, no public witness at the U.S. Capitol building for the National Day of Prayer. And pointing out it's deeply troubling that for the first time we can't do that. And every American needs to be asking the question, how is it possible to have public prayer prohibited at the Capitol on the National Day of Prayer, especially when it's in national observance designated by Congress? There are those, of course, who have no religion or a different religion than you. The National Day of Prayer does normally, except for this time, refer to God, be you call it a supreme being or whatever your religion by name. It does not specifically push the Christian religion and Jesus Christ being your Savior and that we're all sinners and that's the only way you're going to get into heaven. It's just a National Day of Prayer. For the decades at my church, every Sunday there was a prayer given for our national leaders, regardless of who they were or who was in power, praying that they would be guided and directed and make decisions for the betterment of the nation and the people. Not making it simply because of a particular party that was in power. I've told you numerous times, I do believe that we do need more prayer in this country, but I want to also point something out here. The National Day of Prayer 2020, they're saying is, well, we can't have the event as you wanted to do it because of COVID-19, but it's done elsewhere in other ways, so that you're using that as an excuse. But we still do need prayer in this nation. But whether or not you can assemble on the Capitol grounds on the National Day of Prayer should not stop anyone from believing that prayer is important. Let me put it this way. And again, I am not judging. I was quoting Paul in references. He was writing some of pastoral letters to Timothy and others that I, being Paul, of course, he persecuted Christians until he had on the trip to Damascus, you know, he had a vision from Christ and changed entirely. But as he pointed out, I'm the least of all those saying how things should be. And I stand in that line too. I am the least of all. And so I'm not judging, but I will have to say, if you have to have a National Day of Prayer to be praying for this country and this nation, it's kind of akin for those who go to church only on Easter Sunday. And again, I'm not judging. I'm just saying it should be a constant part of life, almost as much as breathing, I think. Not everyone agrees, but can we not at least agree that anything that will make our nation better and stop some of the strife, infighting, would be good for all of us? Thank you for joining me. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.